God is so good all the time. Just make sure I have some water. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. It is a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. It's a good thing to be in your house this morning. It's a good thing to hear your voice. Hallelujah. I'm getting there, I promise. I'm getting there, Pastor Alex. Praise the Lord. He's a good God. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to think of a story to tell you. How wonderful. How wonderful it is to be in your house this morning, Lord. How wonderful it is that we are not, we don't have police guards outside trying to push us away. How wonderful it is to worship with my brothers and sisters this morning. How many know we are accepted in the beloved this morning? None of us are on the outside looking in. We're on the inside looking out. We are accepted in the beloved this morning. And if anyone here felt that this week, maybe I shouldn't go to church because of what I've done. Maybe I shouldn't go to church because of the way I feel and my thoughts towards this person. I want you to know that you're accepted in the beloved this morning. There's nothing that you've done that is too hard for God to fix, to heal, to restore, to manage, to transform, and to renew. There is nothing that you have done. There's nothing that you have said that he will not bring restoration and forgiveness. So I want everyone to shake off the grave clothes this morning. When I came in and Pastor Patty was worshiping, there was this heaviness over this place. Not in God's house. This is not what he wants for his kids. He wants you to know he is more than enough. Even if your bank account is telling you one thing, your bank account is not who God is. Even if your family is telling you you can't come for supper or we don't want you here or there, that is not who God is. You are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted among your brothers and sisters. Imagine Peter after he had denied Christ three times. And that would have been a moment, you know, when I've said, or many of us would say, you know what? You've denied me three times at the worst point in my life when I needed my friend. You turned from me and you said, I never knew you. And when they asked you again, Peter, you turned from me and you said, I don't know him. And at the worst point in my life, when I needed my friend, you weren't there for me. And instead of malice, instead of unforgiveness, the Lord brought Peter to himself. And he said, Peter, when you are healed and restored, and I set you back on your feet, I want you to turn around and strengthen your brothers and sisters. We're accepted in the beloved. It doesn't matter what we've done. The Lord is saying this morning, turn around and strengthen those who are turning away from you. Strengthen those who don't believe you're good enough to sit at their table. Turn around and tell them of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Turn around. Turn away from unforgiveness. Turn away from wrath. Turn away from telling people off. I used to love to do that. Telling people off. But the Lord has brought something new in my life, and it says, forgive them. There's a lot that we need to forgive, even this Christmas. This is a season of forgiving. This is a season of letting go. This is a season of beginning again. Because when Pastor Patty was singing Silent Night, oh, what a wonderful thing to have that image in her mind of that amazing holy night when our Savior was birthed into this world. He came to deliver us from all our sins. So this season, I want you to take the time to reach out to those who are unlovely, those in your family who hasn't spoken to you this year. Maybe the Lord is saying, pick up the phone. Maybe he's saying, send them a text, send them a turkey, send them a gift basket. But this is the season where we need to let go. We don't want any heaviness over God's people. We don't want to give the enemy any open doors of opportunity to pull us further away from the Lord. Therefore, resentment, you must go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of resentment, every spirit of offense must go. Whatever we were offended about last month, it's time to let it go. For the Lord is washing us clean. Don't we pray the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. It's a season of forgiving. It's a season of letting go. It's the season of this new birth that we celebrate, this amazing, amazing event that happened in our history that we will never see happen again. So let's celebrate who Jesus is. King of kings, Lord of lords, mighty, holy, all-sufficient. His throne cannot be taken from him or removed from him in this season. So I want you to give the Lord a hand clap this morning, for he has set us free. We're free. And those who are free indeed. Are you free this morning? Are you free indeed? Are you free this morning? Are you free? Are you free? He set us free. It doesn't matter what men can do to us. We are a free people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And this morning, I want to encourage you to occupy until he comes. Occupy until he comes. Whatever the Lord has put in your hand, whatever the anointing, whatever the assignment, you know, I'm enjoying the prophetic school so much. It is so wonderful to hear your stories or to hear your questions or to hear what the Lord is doing in your life. And even as Pastor Alex said, I do encourage you to come out. The Lord is doing something wonderful. But I want to talk to you about that. I want you to know that wherever the Lord has sent you, whatever he has asked you to do, whatever the assignment, he has not changed his mind about you. He has not changed his mind about his people. He has not changed his mind when he gives us an assignment and we struggle in it. When we struggle in the challenge of raising our children, or we struggle in the challenge. There's someone here who's struggling with their sister. Relationships is really upon the Lord's heart this morning. And there are struggles. Sisters, I see, that are fighting. Sisters that don't believe the same. Sisters that don't understand each other. But the Lord is going to bring a healing into that situation, even this Christmas. Relationships are upon his heart. For the Lord must first... He builds a family before he builds an army. So our relationships are important to him. And whatever we have seen or heard about each other in our relationships, we need to change the story. We need to let it go. I want to give you a scripture. I'm going to spend a lot of time there this morning. And that scripture is going to be Luke 19, 12 to 14. I want us to occupy until he comes. And this message is for any age. This message is for anyone. If you've received the prophetic word from the Lord, if you've received 10 words, 20 words, if you have been receiving words for the last 10 years, it's because the Lord is speaking into your life about what he wants you to do, about where he wants you to go. And every prophetic word you receive is a brand new revelation of what he is doing and how he wants you to occupy until he comes. I don't see anything up there yet, so I'm going to read it. I'm going to read Luke 19, 12 from the King James. And then I'm going to read the other scriptures today from the NIV. In Luke 19, 12, he said, this is Jesus giving a parable. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Say that with me. And to return. And to return. He planned on returning. And he called his 10 servants to him. And he delivered them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy until I come. He said unto them, occupy until I come. To occupy means to take hold of a territory. It means to take hold of a thing and manage it, work with it, enlarge it, raise it up. Don't allow the enemy to take it from you. Occupy until I come, for I am going to return. So through this direction, this is a direction that is given to the elders in this kingdom. I am going to leave. I am going to another kingdom. I'm going to take that kingdom for myself. And while I am gone, I want you to occupy in what I have called you to do. Has the Lord given anyone here an assignment? As the Lord told you, this is what you are to do. This is where you are to go. This is how you are to stand. Well, he hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his mind. Even if you had to leave another country to go to the country where you live in, that assignment is still upon you. The Lord still wants us to occupy until he comes. Occupy, take the territory. If that assignment was for you to pray for your children, the Lord hasn't changed his mind when they become teenagers and they are unruly. If your assignment is to be a good wife to a difficult husband, the Lord hasn't changed his mind. Occupy until I come. There's nowhere in there where the Lord says, and if you don't want to, you can leave. And if you don't want to pray anymore, you can stop. He says, I am going to return. And I want you to do what I ask you to do until I come. Is everybody hearing this? Yes. This is good. This is good stuff. I want you to know. I had to learn this. So when the Lord gives us the assignment to occupy till he comes, what the enemy is going to do, he's going to hear that assignment too. He's going to hear that prophetic word. And he's going to come alongside you with his own plan. God has a plan for your life, and the enemy has a plan for your life. When the Lord says, occupy until I come, the enemy says, no, you're not. I've got something else for you to do. And then something begins to happen, and we call it distractions. Distractions. Like Pastor Patty was praying, was singing this morning, and she was saying, don't be distracted when we're in worship. Don't go talk to everybody at the back and have some texting time with your girlfriend or your boyfriend who's at work. You are to occupy in worship. Occupy. When an assignment is given to you and to me, we are to focus. I want you to write that on your page if you're writers this morning. We must focus because the distractions are going to come. The Lord says, I want you to go to med school. I want you to go to law school. I want you to go learn respiratory therapy. I can't even say it, much less do it. But the Lord gave an assignment. And occupy until I come means until he comes. The distractions are social media. And let me tell you, I fall for that. The distractions are TV shows, Netflix, Disney, Prime, all of them. And you know, they're all offering you something. Everybody's offering you something. It's only $6.99 a month for you to watch my streaming channel instead of praying. It's only $6.99 a month for you to occupy yourself over here rather than what the Lord's called you to do. And it's only $6.99 a month. It doesn't seem like a big cost. I can manage that in my wallet. I can manage that. But what it's done, it's going to move you away from the assignment that the Lord has given you. The assignment he's given you and his directive to occupy, which means take that territory, stand in that territory, and hold your ground. Hold your ground. He's preparing us for 2026. Hold your ground. That's a part of the occupy until I come. The distractions are going to come, but we are not ignorant of the enemy's schemes and plans and plots. We're not ignorant that he's going to send people in our life to push us off the path and eventually push us over a cliff. We're not ignorant of what he will do. But you know, sometimes we don't like the assignment that we're given. Sometimes it looks too hard. Sometimes it's too much. Sometimes we think this challenge isn't for me. God sent someone else. And we lose our way. We lose our blessing because you see, when the Lord gives us an assignment, he blesses us. He daily loads us up with benefits so that we are strengthened in the assignment. We're strengthened in the call. He gives us an ease in the glory so things become easier for us as we continue on the journey. And sometimes he begins with a small assignment to test our heart. When the Lord was teaching me how to pray, I wasn't really jumping up and down. I just knew I had this desire to pray. But there was always baseball to play and my friends to go for coffee. And there were always these shopping events. I love the shop. You know, you want to do those things. And he was teaching me how to pray. That meant I had to spend time with him. That meant I had to give up what I wanted to go into that prayer time, studying the word. And I wasn't doing it very well. Until the day when my 2-year-old son was lost. Occupy until I come. Whatever the assignment is, if you think it's too hard, you think it's too much, I want you to know, even though the enemy may try to push you off your path, the Lord knows how to bring you right back to it. He knows how to bring you right back to it. One of the distractions we have is our feeling of unworthiness. People don't talk about that. People don't talk about how they really feel about themselves. But we struggle with who we are and what we think we should be. And the enemy is the one who plants these thoughts in our minds that tells us, well, you're not good enough. You can't preach like Pastor Alex and Pastor Patty. You can't do it like this. You can't. We have to fight these battles. The king, when the king left his 12 elders in charge, he did not say it's going to be easy. He did not say that every morning you wake up and every day it's going to get easier. He did not tell them that. He gave them a command and a directive. Do what I asked you to do until I come. Can you imagine being Moses? Moses, who was a prince in Pharaoh's palace, and the Lord's calling him and saying, you need to be among your people. And when he finally gets it, he decides to go kill someone because he thought, I have to murder people to bring the people out of Egypt. We have our ideas. We have our mindset of how things should be. But the Lord will bring us back to what he has chosen for us to do. So don't be afraid of the assignment that you're going to fall or make mistakes. Yes, we are. Joyce Meyer said, the Lord knew of my stupidity when he called me to this ministry. That's what she said. He knew that I was going to be stupid about many things. He knew that we weren't always going to hold on and get into the word. He knew that it was going to be hard for us to look at his face and see his face every day when we have distractions all around us. When the Lord gave you an assignment, he knew the days we would fall. He knew the times that would change and challenge us. He knew. So don't be surprised. He is there to clean us up. He's there to set us on our feet and to move us even into the call he has for our lives. Our feelings of unworthiness, he's going to heal. He's always pouring out his joy to us. He's always pouring out his great love for us. Because none of us think we're good enough. Remember, Moses had a lisp and he said, I can't go talk to Pharaoh. Can't you see I stutter? We all have these problems, feelings of unworthiness, but it is not a distraction to God when he said, go and occupy until I come. Imagine if Pastor Patty, before she met Pastor Alex, when God had called her to pastor in the church, imagine if she said, but I'm not good enough. My brothers didn't like me. They put me down when I was a kid. I remember those stories. Imagine her past holding her back. Imagine her past telling her, you're not worthy enough for that position. Because that's what the enemy will do. Focus. I'm saying it again, focus. 2026 is about to happen. God has great plans, and he has called me to bring you to this place of understanding, to know what revelation truly is in your life, so you will focus and don't let the enemy distract you. It's not enough whatever he's giving you, it's never enough to defeat God. It's never strong enough. You can never defeat God by moving over to the side of the enemy. It'll never happen. God doesn't lose. So whatever it is that he's called you into, yes, there will be challenges. Yes, there will be distractions. Yes, people will tell you, who do you think you are? If I told my brothers 2 years ago that the Lord had called me to preach and to teach. These are my brothers, okay? We play cards together. We play board games together. We have games night. And imagine one of those games night, I stand up and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to be preaching and teaching quite a lot in my church. I could see their faces as I have just last Christmas. It's like, what? You're my sister. You're supposed to be here playing games with me. You're supposed to go to the movies with me. You're not supposed to be going teaching and preaching. Your family will be your biggest distraction. Who can attest to that? My family is going to be your biggest distraction because your parents don't believe in you the way God does. They have seen you at your worst. They have seen you at your worst. When you borrowed the car and brought it home with an empty tank over and over, they have seen me at my worst. When my mom said, Anne Marie, come home at 11 o'clock, and I'm strolling at 2 o'clock in the morning hoping my dad's going to be the one to answer the door because it was easier to deal with him. But God sees something in us. And when our parents look at us, they think, are you kidding me? You don't even know how to make your bed, and you're going to be running a company? You're going to be a doctor? And you can't even help your sister? Remember, all kinds of things are going to come up to disqualify you from what the Lord has called you to do. But it's not enough to defeat God. Peter's denial of Jesus was not enough to stop Jesus. For after his death, Peter preached a message that brought 5,000 people into the kingdom in one message after he messed up. So your unworthiness does not sway God anyway. Our failures will not sway him. He's preparing you for something greater than you ever imagined. He's preparing you to go to Africa and China. He's preparing you to go and preach the gospel in the dark places of the world. And he is not looking at the things that bother me. He's not looking at those things that I think I'm not worthy to do. He says, occupy until I come. And in my vernacular, it means focus. Because there are people waiting for you. There are people waiting for the way you deliver the message of Christ. They will receive it from you, but they won't receive it from me. These people are waiting for us. And when the Lord gives you an assignment, it doesn't matter what the enemy does. He doesn't look at all of that because he knows he cannot be defeated. Occupy until he comes, or focus, focus. We're heading towards the last 3 weeks of this year. Whatever isn't done yet, this is your time. Focus. Get it done. Write that letter. Fill out the form. The documents need to be signed and sent in. Get it done. Take it off your desk. Get it out of the drawer. That beautiful I just see someone had an idea or a plan. You have ideas, you have plans that you never implemented because you didn't think you could do it. But it's not about me, and it's not about you. Focus for what the Lord has assigned you to. You're the only one who can do it. You're the only one. You are the only one. It's assigned to you. If Pastor Patty wasn't sitting there, it was because she would say, I'm not worthy of this, and I'm out. But you know what? God cannot allow that chair to be empty. So if Pastor Patty did not stand up for the call in her life, he would put someone else there. Because the assignment must be fulfilled. So you don't want someone else fulfilling what God has called you to do. Focus. Shake off the grave clothes. Shake off the unworthiness. Shake off the social media stuff and all our distractions. For none of it is enough to defeat God. None of it. Is anybody getting anything out of this morning? When we are occupying, when we are doing that assignment in whatever way the Lord called us to, I love Pastor Alex's story about God sending him to school. He resisted. He resisted. He tells you to go to another country. And what? I'm supposed to leave my home, my family. Imagine he told that to Abraham. Leave everything here. And I'm taking you to another country. Imagine if he had said no. The people that he impacted in his lifetime and beyond came from his obedience. It comes from your obedience, and it comes from my obedience. I remember when we were being trained to preach, and I was in church, and you know, all the leaders had to preach, and the pastor said, Anne Marie, it's your turn. You're going to be preaching on Sunday. I thought, I don't think this woman knows who I am. Like, what? Preaching on Sunday? I remember writing out all kinds of scriptures, writing out everything I thought I would say. And I went up to that front, and people were in the audience waiting because we all had 15 minutes. We were being trained to preach and to teach, and because the prophetic word said, you would be doing this. And I took my turn, and all my knees were shaking. And I remember looking at my page with all the notes on it, and I couldn't understand a thing I had written. But I had 15 minutes. I had the microphone and phone in 15 minutes. You know how long 15 minutes is? When you haven't prayed in 6 months, when you haven't talked to the Lord, but there you are trying to go through the Bible, trying to figure it out. 15 minutes is a long time. But I got through that moment. And in all my thoughts of being unworthy, in all my thoughts of I want to go back and watch TV, I want to go back and be with my friends. What am I doing here? It was never enough to defeat the Lord. What he's called you to do is important in the kingdom. It's important in the kingdom. You are important. You're a watchman on the wall. And if you don't occupy your space, it's gonna be empty. Occupy until I come. Occupy if it's in Sunday school. Occupy if it's in the ministry, the helps ministry around the house. If you're the one preparing the meals for everyone to eat, occupy your space. It is not a low thing to feed someone. It's a very high, high place in God. It is not a low place in God to give food to the poor every day. It's a very high place in God. And those people who is coming alongside Pastor Alex and the team and helping to distribute food to those who need it, the Lord is blessing you exponentially, for you're doing something that is upon His heart. Don't look at what He's called you to do as something small when you're comparing yourself with someone else. Get rid of the comparison. What God has called Denise number one and Denise number two to do, I can't do. I can do what God has called me to do. Occupy until He comes. Focus on your assignment. We've got about 3 or 4 weeks left in December. Focus on bringing your relationship to a place of healing. Focus and getting healed of the offense, the resentment, the bitterness. Let it go. Focus on what the Lord has called you to do. For this is an hour and a day where it is dark, gross darkness is over the people, and the Lord is raising up the army, that Joel's army. And we're a part of that. So He forgives us easy. Easy that grace comes upon us when we make a mistake. The enemy battles us in the areas of our identity. In the area of worthy or unworthy. I'm called, I'm not called. We have a lot of questions in that area. But the Lord, when He calls us to do something, He doesn't change His mind. He says, occupy until I come. He told Moses He was going to be a deliverer. Long before Moses parted that Red Sea, the Lord had already told him, you're going to be a deliverer. He told David he was going to be king when he was in the backside of the desert looking after sheep. Imagine Samuel calling him, anointing him with oil, and said, you're going to be king? This is a little red-headed kid. He's not thinking about that. He's thinking of how I'm going to wash the mud off my shoe so I can go and have supper. He told us that long before. He told Daniel he would be a prime minister when he was enslaved into captivity and taken to a nation that he didn't know anything about. And He said, occupy until I come. Without faith, it would never have happened. Without the faith of these men and women. The Lord told Esther she would be queen when she was a young girl, and she's thinking, what exactly is a queen? Never knowing what God was going to do through her life. You don't know yet what God's going to do through your life. When He tells you to go to med school, when He tells you to go to law school, when He tells you to learn to be a teacher, you don't know yet. But our job is to say, yes, Lord, and focus. He told Deborah she would be a judge and a prophetess. Deborah's thinking, what? You've got to read her story in the book of Judges. He told Mary she would be the mother of Jesus. She's a 14-year-old kid. And here's the Lord telling her this. What does a 14-year-old think about something like that? But you see, the Lord reaches down into our life and He tells us something, and we push it away. The way Pastor Alex described when God was telling him to go to nursing school, to go into the medical field. You push it away because I'm unworthy. I'm not good enough for this. I don't know how to do this. Are you kidding me? I'm not educated enough. I don't have their degree. And we push it away because we think only Pastor Patty could do it. When we receive a prophetic word from God, He is declaring to us how he sees us. This is how I see you. Go. I'm calling you to be king. Go, I'm calling you to sit on the judge's bench. Go, I'm calling you to earn 2 or 3 degrees in sciences. Go, go, go. When the Lord prophesies, he is telling you, this is who you are to me. And after you receive that prophetic word, you are known in heaven forever based on what the Lord told you, because that's how he sees you. And when he looks at you in your prayer time, he's not seeing this wimpy person crying, God, I don't know how. He's seeing a prophetess. He's seeing a doctor. He's seeing a teacher. And he looks at you and he calls you that in the spirit every time he sees you. If he called you as a deliverer, you're always a deliverer. You are the Moses, I called you to deliver my people. You're a deliverer to me. You're one that's going to change nations. He doesn't look too deep at the pain in us because he knows he can heal that. If you're obedient, I can heal that. But I want you to imagine what the Lord has told you to do. And if he called you from another nation, it's because what he has called you to, it will be impactful where you are. And so, yes, you have to start at the beginning. Yes, you're starting at ground zero, but that's not where the Lord is going to leave you. That's just the beginning. When we know what we're called to do, when we know who we are, you become fearless in battle. We become fearless in battle. When the Lord speaks to us and tells us what we're going to do, that is a revelation that the enemy cannot take from us. And when we are praying, when we are interceding, we know who we are. And when the enemy comes with his schemes and his plots, he can't move you. Because you know who you are. And that is what he's trying to do, is to not only give you your identity, but he's always encouraging you in your identity. My identity is in Christ, and I know who he is. And I know who I am. Give us this day our daily bread, Father. Give us this day our daily bread. And I'm not talking about daily food to eat. I'm talking about food to feed my spirit. Give us this day our daily bread. So that we are strengthened in the battle and we're strengthened in the fight. I'm encouraging you this morning that you have a call on your life. You have something to do that no one else can do. Focus and get it done, or occupy until he comes. This is no season of wavering. This is not a season of pushing back and think, well, I don't know if I could do it and let go. The Lord says, don't let go. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, what's going to happen? You shall reap if we faint not. Don't be weary. in the days and the years that you're in training, because you're going to impact nations with what you know and what you can do and who the Lord has called you to be. Stand on your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Occupy until he comes. Focus. Focus. Don't let the enemy distract you. Don't believe you're not worthy. Don't think of your failures in the past. Because your destiny is in front of you. It is not behind you. This is our turn to look ahead at 2026 and see and know what the Lord is planning for us. And we will not back down in battle. We will not back down in the fight, for we know who we are in Christ. Father God, I thank you this hour, in this moment, that you're showing your people that you've called them to something greater than which they know. You've called them to this place. You've called them in this hour, in this season, for their training, for your sending to them to the nations. So, Father, we refuse every distraction. We rebuke the distractions in our lives. We rebuke the words of those who don't believe in us. For you have called us to occupy. And Father, we want to focus on that which you have called us to, so we will not be deceived by the enemy, so that we will not be moved by your friends or even the pain of the past. Occupy until I come, or focus on what the Lord is saying. We thank you for our pastors and our leaders who help us, Father, along the journey, who stand with us, who encourage us, who cry with us and pray with us. You have given us so many tools. You've supplied us. You've encouraged us. You've enriched us. So, Father, we are not backbenchers. You're not calling us to sit in the bleachers. You're calling us to get in the game. Get in the game in whatever capacity I can do. Let me serve you, Lord, with all that I can do. Help us to get in the game, whether it's to feed the poor, to cook the meal, or to clean the church. We want to get in the game. So God, in whatever state we are in, we are content in serving you this morning. We're content in lifting up your name. We're content in praising your name, for we know our identity is in you. And we thank you, Father, for all that you have called us into. We thank you, Lord. Give us boldness. Give us courage to accomplish the plan, to accomplish the assignment, to accomplish your will, even when we're weary. Help us to continue to move forward in you. Our destiny is in front of us, not behind us. We thank you for this day. And even in this Christmas season, we pray your blessing over every event, every dinner party, all those things that we've planned. But God, help us to focus on you. For without you, we could do nothing. We can do nothing. So we pray your blessings over your congregation this morning. And we ask you to bless them and their families. Bless our pastors and our leaders. Strengthen them, Father God, as you for what you have called them into. They have not yet seen or heard the immense call that you have for them. But thank you that they are walking with you as you take them to that place that is their promised land. Bless each one today. as we walk this journey with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.